Welcome to the Watson Weekend. I'm your host, Rick Watson.
Hi, it's Jessica Laseski. We're ready for another weekend.
Are we?
I think so.
Sure about that.
Yes. I'm ready for it to not be freezing, and I'm ready for the roof man who is not Channing Tatum to get off my roof.
It would be better if he was, let's be honest.
Yes, it would be. Dream state, yes.
On today's show, here are the stories that we're talking about. First is the dollar store earnings comparison. What's really happening in this market? Second, Prime Day is moving on back from July to June this year. Why is that? And finally, what we're calling the agentic reboot dressed up as a black eye. There have been a lot of agentic moves this week. Most of them have been negative. We're going to unpack what those are, especially related to OpenAI and Anthropic, as well as our good friend Amazon.
Nothing like a good OpenAI gut punch.
And if you didn't know, the Watson Weekly is also available as a newsletter. Check it out, our website, watsonweekly.com. We would love for you to subscribe. Story one this week is the Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Five Below. All of these companies reported earnings in the last week. Jess, can you help us catch up on this story?
Absolutely, Rick. So this sector has been on a tear after what was a bit tumultuous last year. You know, you had tariffs, you had consumer pressure. There's been lots of strategic repositioning, and these stores have benefited from that trade down, as we know that consumers have felt that pressure, looking for deals, looking for ways to save dollars. Dollar General is really the cleanest narrative. Operating profit doubled year over year. They got ahead of shrinkage.
It's not a problem.
Got ahead of the shrink. Labor cost under control. Q4 same store sales of 4.3%. Dollar Tree is basically the banner and the banger, if you will, in their portfolio, after they shed Family Dollar. So they beat their estimates with a 9% Q4 revenue growth, 24% EPS jump. They really are on a tear. And Rick, seems like Five Below is not far behind them.
They just reported earnings. Their stock is still on a tear as they beat their estimates. So year over year, they're still growing. I would even love to put Bob's Discount Furniture in this mix. You don't get furniture for $1. What I feel is like we're in a value environment.
Sure.
And what I see from this is the consumer is looking for deals across every segment. And I even looked at like Bob's Discount earnings call, and they were saying that their biggest growth is $150,000 and up shoppers, which is ding, ding, the same number we heard from Walmart.
And it is pretty interesting to see like this sector rebounding. They've had a lot of negative press too, with like how they were treating employees, the stores being just in a disaster zone. There are some losers in this category. We already talked about Family Dollar and how they had to close stores. They basically, you know, are on the decline. 99 Cent Only also filing bankruptcy. So there aren't all like clean slate winners in this category. You do actually have to be good at retail to win this value customer. And it seems like, you know, Dollar General, Dollar Tree are on that win streak.
It's great to see. And, you know, I appreciate one thing about the dollar stores. They don't have merchandise behind lock and key like Target does.
There we go. Boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. If you know me, you know I don't mess around with my recommendations. And this is no exception. I've been recommending Avalara to clients for years. When we helped build the Anne Klein website, Avalara was the call. Here's the thing. Shopify's default tax settings are not enough. We're talking 12,000 plus tax jurisdictions just in the US, plus VAT across 190 countries. Avalara handles all of it automatically and right inside Shopify. Every client I brought them into is still running them today. Don't trust your tax and compliance to platform defaults. Learn more at avalara.watsonweekly.com today. And our next story, we're talking about Amazon Prime Day. It's moving on back to June. Just to catch you up, Prime Day has run in July since Amazon launched it in 2015. Last year's event was 4 days expanded. It feels to me like they need a new mojo. They're pulling it back to June. There's been a lot of speculation as to why that is. Unpack this a little bit for us, Jess.
Yeah, Rick, like you said, we're going to like look at the Wayback Machine. You know, Amazon has had this amazing result with Prime, and they have to keep beating, not just lap, but beating the results year over year. People call this like they call, you know, the plays in the Super Bowl, right? What's happening? Daily sales updates, category trends. It really is a barometer for what's happening with the economy as well, which I think is why there's so much speculation of this date moving up. Amazon has played around with the dates in the past. They've had to adjust because of the pandemic. They also had pulled it up in 2021 in June for various reasons, like because they were just trying to get the consumer back into spend mode. So it is interesting that they were moving it at this time. And a lot of the speculation has been because they needed some Q2 boost, right? Is this an indication of the consumer sort of softening in certain areas? They want to have good earnings. They want to end the year strong. There's also some speculation of, well, they feel like people are going to be distracted. It's summer vacations. July isn't the best time. Right. Not a narrative I'm buying. Like Amazon always can get people to spend and have, hello, people, Christmas in July. Like it's a thing. So people were buying that. So again, I'm not buying what they're selling in that narrative.
Yeah.
But what do you think this means, Rick, for other retailers? Because they typically try to follow suit. So is Walmart getting their deals ready? Target, everybody else?
Hundo P, my friend. Everyone's going to follow Amazon. They're getting on the train. Woo, woo.
Yes, that's right.
We're going down. And almost if you look at this, I 100% agree. This is the goose Q2 earnings because it's typically like a little bit slower time. Q3, you start to get, you know, holidays pushed into Q3. What I almost see this is, and I've read some analysts talk about it, and I agree with it. This is like back to school is moving into June. Because if you can get all your school deals done in July and not wait till the last minute in August, you know you're going to need these school supplies. You know you're going to need the backpack. You know you're going to need the laptop or like whatever it is.
Right.
Just get it soon. If you could shop for Christmas in September, you could definitely shop for back to school in June.
Absolutely, Rick. Yeah. So teachers, just get your list ready for the fall 2026 in June, and problems are all solved. Parents, way to go. Well, Rick, I'm going to bring us home on our main story. This is the agentic reboot dressed up as a black eye. And in the South, we call this lipstick on a pig. So let me just break it down to catch everyone up on what's happened. It has been a whirlwind of headlines in this AI narrative in the AI landscape. A couple things happened. You had Adyen's co-CEO publishing this white paper this month. Agentic commerce has an infrastructure problem. Cough, cough. We can solve that for you. You had Amazon Stores VP of Technology do a come to Jesus, essentially, because there have been too many issues, too many downtimes, because they're letting all these junior engineers just go code-centric, vibe coding, not really, but letting the code do the work. So now they've got to have some adult oversight and supervision. Cannot ship things without a senior engineer signing off. But really, the main kind of headline that rocked at least the LinkedIn threads I saw and the rest of the world was OpenAI's team, and really spearheaded by their applications chief, Fiji Simo, saying, we cannot miss this moment, stop the side quest, and we're in a code red. So Rick, bring us home on like, what's the OpenAI situation?
Yeah, OpenAI, look, I mean, I've said this on the show many times before, if you've listened, OpenAI has a governance problem, and it starts with Sam, and rhymes with Altman.
What?
So it's a big problem. I mean, essentially, the short story, and make it long, is Sam is an investor, and he's managed OpenAI really like a venture capital firm, which is like a let a thousand flowers bloom. If you've ever learned anything about how venture capital works, is they invest in 100 companies. If they can get one or two kind of like 10 baggers, meaning like a 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times return on one company, then that makes your entire fund, which is the pool of money you're using to invest in those monies. And so the problem is, at a company level, it means that you have 1,000 bets and not a few important bets and then a few experimental things, which is how most companies are run. And so
it's called focus.
And so you have no focus. And so they're doing enterprise, they're doing consumer, they're doing a partnership with private equity. They just got investment from Amazon, which, by the way, is really pissing off Microsoft, who they might get sued over that.
Yeah, they, and don't, they, don't forget the Pentagon, the right. Pentagon situation.
Yeah, the Pentagon, they're like, guess what? We have no morals. Sorry, Dario. Peace out. Like, we'll just come in there, no problem. Amazon taught us not to have any morals, so right. we could do just as good. Right. We can't be undersold. This is like the OpenAI model. Like, I'm Crazy Sam.
Oh, woo!
So Fiji Simo is an interesting, I think, character in this room. And she comes in the middle of last year, like August. She's like the CEO of applications. OpenAI already had a president, Ilya, who was a co-founder of OpenAI back in the early days. Most of the early OpenAI people are actually left. A lot of them are at Anthropic, much to their chagrin. And it's interesting that Fiji Simo is also a former Instacart, former Facebook. She knows how to build an ads business. And so that's an interesting, I think, mantra coming in. At the same time, she's also on the board of Shopify. Why is that interesting? It's like Shopify is all in on AI, and they have done this through their Sidekick app, and they're just sort of building in a lot of different directions, but they have a mainstream. Like, the Shopify core business is fine, and they're innovating AI on top of that, right?
And so they're not
dependent on open, like, AI panning out for Shopify to be a good SaaS business. OpenAI is in a different situation where Fiji Simo has had a catbird seat to see sort of Toby's focus and how in 2023, he basically, like, we made a multi-billion dollar bet on logistics. In 2023, he had this famous side quest memo. Interesting, the same language that Fiji Simo used last week in her message, like, we have too many side quests. The problem is she didn't really choose a main quest. She says, like, we have to win the enterprise and we have to win coding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Can you answer that question? Like, what's the mission here?
Yeah. So I can't get into her brain. However, she's been extremely successful, as you said, in monetizing Instacart. And she looked at Instacart from a platform perspective. And how do you monetize Instacart from advertising, from CPG, from the consumer side, with the subscription piece of it, through even just playing around with fees, right? And I think that she's looking at this when she's saying win the enterprise. It is no surprise to anyone that Anthropic has been sitting behind the scenes, extremely quiet, extremely focused, and really creeped up and owned the enterprise in a very significant way. I mean, they've gotten up to like 70% share now. And that's where I think Fiji sees this slipping away, right? Because they have cozied up to major enterprises. Claude Code is revolutionized in material ways that OpenAI has not really had a play in, right? They were, the dream, right? Everyone was flocking to ChatGPT. And then it felt like they lost their way. Even Sortwitch came out, had an amazing run. It's like initially has tapered off. There's just not been a lot of chatter about
it. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's just like one too many things or?
Yeah, I think it's one too many things. You said this really well. When you're in venture capital, you plant a lot of seeds because you hope that like one tree is going to grow and be the money tree, right? See what I did there? But when you can't do that in a company because you only have, even with all of your AI machines running in the background and all your agents, you still have to have people driving strategy, execution.
What? And people?
Actually talking to people. You can't sell an enterprise without salespeople and marketing. I know you guys want to cut us out of the mix. It's not
steak dinners. I was told you didn't need steak dinners anymore.
You need steak dinners. I'm sorry. You need steak dinners, especially when you're trying to court the PE group. They're still hanging out in Wall Street. And they like their steak and they like their red wine. And so you gotta feed the people if you're gonna get into these deals. So yes, they have been too distracted. They've been going down way too many paths. I think that they focused on commerce so much to the extent of they forgot what their core was, which is making a good product that helps with productivity, efficiency, and essentially driving more scale in organizations. Mm. And they have lost the plot on that story. Yeah. So that's my take.
No, it's interesting. I mean, if you go back,
rewind history. In 2015, OpenAI was founded. Elon Musk was part of it. It was a it was a nonprofit foundation.
Right.
Sam is doing it because he loves it. He was famously humiliated by the senator from Louisiana, Kennedy.
You need a lawyer or an agent.
On national TV, which has got to be fun. A lot of the people that supported OpenAI now basically hate Sam Altman, don't trust him.
Right.
And so it's interesting. There's a lot of redemption that needs to happen here. Literally, the only reason OpenAI exists is because Elon and others wanted to make sure that our future wasn't going to be owned by Google, period. It was just to fight Google. Now, Anthropic is ahead. Google is going to be there. We can't really fight them. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
But if we lose to Anthropic, then we're like the third player, and the third player is going to be the first loser.
100%. Yes. I mean, we haven't even talked about Perplexity in that mix. I mean, we're your fourth
loser.
We're like number five in grocery, like Target is. We're number five in, we are number five. So yeah, you're right. They do have a massive PR problem, and they've also lost a lot of talent, right? If you look at the key individuals that have moved from OpenAI to even Anthropic, Dario, the actual co-founder and CEO who is eating your lunch, Daniela, previously worked as OpenAI's VP.
Brother and sister team.
Oh, I know. It's really cute. Safety and policy. I couldn't work with I don't know that I could work with my family. So you guys go. Jan Lakey, she joined to co-lead the alignment science team. John Schulman, who also left in August of 2024. Chris Ola, another co-founder who previously worked at OpenAI, Jack Clark. I mean, these are some pretty major players who are now senior executives at the company that has essentially risen to take share of something that now OpenAI says they have to own. So how are they going to get in this good graces? What's the turnaround plan, Rick?
I think they're going to shut down a lot of shit. That's number one. That seems to be the plan. Because it's like OpenAI Codex, which is their platform. It's basically their answer to Claude Code that they've had. And it's been relatively successful, but I just think it's been one of five or six things that are important to OpenAI. And so they've all been distributed teams. I think they realize OpenAI is important. I think the subtext of this on the heels of OpenAI saying that ChatGPT checkout is ixnay on the eckout chay, then... It's a problem, and these announcements are not unrelated. Like, the consumer may not be ready yet, number one. They don't trust putting their credit card in an agent they don't know about. Second is they're not going to change their shopping behavior, meaning, like, the Amazon flywheel is still intact, number one.
Yes.
Number two, they're still going to walk into store because shopping is fun, by the way, and people
it's
just
social.
Love
it's
shopping. And so we're not going to change our behavior anyway. And so I think they're saying that if there's one thing we can count on is that Wall Street will always demand more profits, and AI is going to be the savior of Wall Street to deliver those profits. And if they lose out on that big generational idea, they are screwed.
They are. And what I think people forget is, yes, we are in this age of lots of different things happening, but at some point, enterprises, for the spirit of employee training, efficiency, and execution, cannot have four different AI platforms that they are working through, right? When if you're talking about you're going to invest in building agents to help scale a marketing organization or a sale or support a sales organization, even on the engineering side, you cannot have people get trained on agents, do in workflows and disrupt that the next time Codex launches a new model, because it's just too much context switching and it's too expensive. These enterprise contracts, no one is Microsoft shop and a Google shop and an AWS shop.
Very few people.
Like it because it's expensive. Right. And so no one is going to place their eggs in multiple baskets. There are very few that have that kind of cash. So if you really are going to make an impact, you've got to actually do something to get into the enterprise and have stickiness.
Yeah, exactly. And look, OpenAI isn't the only company that rebooted this week. We saw Microsoft combine. They had multiple different co-pilot groups. They actually combined them into one where the original sort of co-founder of the co-pilot AI group is now going to be working on models, and someone reporting to him is going to be working on the application side of things. So they're going to have that division. XAI, which is Elon's AI startup, literally the same week said, everything we built, we have to rebuild from scratch. And we already have three models competing on it. So another entire company rebooted. Who hasn't rebooted their AI strategy? Amazon. They had a process change, which is a failure, but a failure that can be corrected. It's not like, oh, our AWS strategy is blown up with chips and Bedrock, and all those things are still intact. Because I think, frankly, Amazon plans better than these other companies. Yeah. And AI was sort of a natural fit in what's already a horizontal infrastructure play like AWS.
Yeah. Well, you've mentioned something about maturity and Amazon.
Immaturity, you mean?
Well, yeah, Sammy boy. He's going to now have to put his big boy pants on and like be a real executive. But yes, in the maturity side, when you're comparing companies, Amazon is way more mature, right? They have decades of experience. They have executives that have led through major transitions and pivots like this, while I think OpenAI and even Anthropic to a certain extent are still immature in this industry and in the founding corporation. So do you feel like this is the last of the news we're hearing, or this is just the beginning?
Look, I think we're still in early innings in AI, and I think people should take this news a little bit with a grain of salt. And also just as a subtle reminder that we're not in a mature space, we're in an immature space. And
yeah.
So we still have new players entering the market. The existing players are figuring out what approach is working, which you will see like wholesale changes, strategies being thrown off the bus, new ones taken on, people that aren't working out, new people coming in. We're in the bottom half of the first inning of the agentic AI. We're calling it sort of like the era of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my focus is. Like, how is intelligence going to affect everything we do in business?
Right. Yeah. And let's talk about this joint venture, because OpenAI has been courting some private equity groups to create this joint venture. Anthropic is doing the same thing. Is there going to be enough space where like both sides win, or do you feel like one is going to emerge a winner over the other?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't put too much stock into these deals.
Yeah.
It happens in software everywhere. It's just about distribution.
Sure.
Private equity owns a lot of companies. As a result, those companies have employees and I guess robot employees too that all need coding software. This is just sort of normal software sales. Instead of steak dinners, you sign a deal with private equity and they're kind of locked into your contract. So I don't put too much stock in this overall.
Got it. Okay. Well, there is going to be so much, like you said, news around this. We are watching this like a hawk. It is fun to talk about and you know, sit on the sidelines and see how it all goes down. Just to wrap up, where do you feel like the agentic commerce space holistically goes next, especially with this like news on the checkout reboot?
Yeah, look, I think most players are going to be focused on where they see the most value. And I think in the short term, where do these players see the most value is in kind of the organic realm of agentic, meaning like making sure that if someone goes and has multiple questions to answer and they're trying to narrow down what they're looking for, find a new brand, learn how to do something, and you're asking someone like hundreds of questions like we all do every day, these AI chatbots, is your brand there or not? And what do they know about you? And is that information accurate? I think most brands have so much work to do there that all these other, call them side quests.
Right.
It's really second priority for a lot of brands right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still all about the data. Get clean data, people. And
exactly.
You can start to live the dream.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited about that.
That's right. All right. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. We've enjoyed bringing it to you. Again, like, subscribe, all the things.
As always, we say stay classy, be bold, and see you next week.
Have a great weekend, everyone.